Sometimes the engine has to back up and you have to link. Watch them back up and link to the other one. I think that's what we have to do this morning. Just back up and link. We'll steer you along. And we will move along. We'll talk a little bit today about ritual, sacrament. But there's a very important liturgy today. And I know it's important because Carol told me she didn't understand the gospel at all today, or the liturgy. We spend this hour to find meaning to that which seems to be meaningless. There are so many experiences we have that seem to turn out wrong when they become meaningless. We understand when we turn ourselves over to the Spirit of God that nothing is meaningless. Things may not be the way we expected them, but they are the way they are supposed to be for a greater discovery or truth than we had in mind. It is always there to lead us to a great one. When I put my hand up and you put your hand up, people say, why do they salute you when you come out? No one is saluting me when I come out. What we are saying is that we are of ourselves holding that moment, a ritual, it is a ritual, so we can touch the sacred and feel it. And as we reach out and touch it, each one of you are dedicating yourself to an hour of reverence and a time where the Spirit within you will make every meaningless thing according to your emotions be meaningful. Everything, without exception. Everything. Amen?
Amen?
So we ask of the Spirit, for that is what we are here for, not religion. We're here to ask of the Spirit to show us the meaning of our experiences and not let us think that it happened by random or by chance. Nothing happens by random or by chance. You only think so if it doesn't measure up to your expectations. Amen? So we release everything in this hour in God's house. And we dress ourselves in the golden wedding garment. And we come into the feast. And we'll drink the wine. But not the wine crushed with grapes. But the wine of the Spirit, when we accept its gift of wisdom and of knowledge. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So in this 1 hour, it's not so much what I'm going to say. Is what you are prepared to feel. It is what you are prepared to open yourself up to. And this is an hour of not being afraid and closed down, but this is an hour with Spirit where you open yourself up without fear to everything and find the meaning. Amen? Let's do it together. I would like to turn and say hello to each other. Fluff up the pillow a little. Come on, unfold your arms. Kiss somebody, hug somebody. Get that girl. Rise up,
the wings of a dove. Rise up, rise up, rise up, feel the power of love. Precious promises throughout the ages, God in man living, Creator.
Comfortable. We know how to lay down. You ever watch dogs when they meet each other or they get in a fight? There is a signal between them. If a dog lays down on its back and puts its arms like this, it means total surrender and the other dog will not pursue it or fight it any further. It is a sign of surrender. And sometimes some of us have to learn to surrender. And in surrender, we think that it's a giving up. It's not a giving up, it's a rising up. It's rising up. It's surrendering to everything that is in love. As we go through life and we face our experiences, the thing that makes experiences sad is when we've cared and we've felt with someone and then they do something and we think, my God, it's over. I'm afraid it's over. I'm afraid it's coming to an end. And most of us don't know how to face things that we think are coming to an end, because we do not understand the spiritual aspect of us that says, nothing is coming to an end. It has a new beginning. Every exit is an entrance into something. We have never come to the end of our rope with anyone. We have come to a new beginning with them. We have come to a new understanding. And we must not say, I'm afraid it's over. I'm afraid it's finished. We make up our mind at some point we like someone. Carol was telling me this. Then we do something and we decide we don't like them anymore. We switch over. And she says, we must learn, then we can switch over again and like them again. That's our power. That's our power. We love them. They do something, now we don't love them. We have the same power to switch over and love them again. But it seems once we reach that decision we don't like someone or we don't love them anymore, we must defend that decision forever, and it cannot change. It cannot change as long as you're feeling hurt or things didn't live up to your expectations. Don't feel meaningless because you can't find the meaning. When the mind cannot find the meaning, the spirit within you can. And you find challenges. Can you reach out through love and lift someone you love who is not living up to your expectations? Can you save the people you love? Are you willing to pay the price to save them? Once you know that there's love in your heart for them, I've never had any choice about who I'd love. Damn, I wish I did. I don't have any choice about it. You love who you love because within that love is what you must learn in this lifetime to grow as a person. And everyone you love is going to open a door for you. They're going to open a door for you, and you can either demand that they claim it shut and keep it shut, or you can walk through that door with them, knowing that everything is in light, that there is nothing meaningless. And that the more difficult it seems and the more frightening it is, the more important it is for you. We have an idea that we can always go down a false trail. He led me down the path. He led me down a false trail. He led me down the false trail. There are no false trails. Unless you decide that it's come to an end and not found its new beginning. Every trail leads to something. It might just stop dead and all of a sudden there's the forest. Or maybe there's the forest with a penetrating joy. Last night I was to do a lecture in Corona Riverside. And I had one man who was in my face. Oh, was he in my face. And he said to me, What do you sell? What are you selling? And I said to him, I'm not selling anything. If I was, I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else making money. I'm not selling anything. And I guess it's all right for people to ask. And particularly after what you see our religious evangelists doing, we all pay the price for it. Okay, what are you selling? And he began to preach at me. And he started off by saying, mankind will not make it until he learns to become kind man. Now, this was his whole basis. He had this great theory that until we reverse mankind into kind man, we would get nowhere. He had to prove he was right by proving that man was unkind. Chris stood there and listened to him. And he pointed out all the unkindness of man. And what he expected to see is what he saw. And he was telling me how unkind man was. And I said, wait a minute. You just can't preach at me. I didn't come here to listen to you. I wanted to talk to you. I said, you're a good talker, but you're not a good listener. And your perception governs reality. I don't think mankind is unkind. And I feel sorry for anyone that does. And I ask you to be mindful that any time there was trouble in Bangladesh or trouble in Africa, how mankind once was made aware of a legitimate need, responded from rock groups to entertainers to gathering money, to gathering relief, everywhere in the world. And you could see the kindness of man. And he wanted to pick on mankind. And it's because we have this false idea of what we're supposed to be. We have this idea we're supposed to be holy and angelic. If we were holy and angelic, we would not be mankind. We are man. We are not holy, we're not angelic, and we could stop creating a thing greater than we can be and start enjoying who we are. We're growing. We make mistakes. We have emotions. We get upset. That's who we are. But we're not cruel. Fear makes us feel and act in a cruel way. Fear is the parent of all cruelty. God is the only thing I know that you can use to lay down fear with. I know nothing else that works but a deep spiritual belief to lay down fear. I'm afraid I won't change them. I'm afraid I won't be able to change them. If you know what a person really needs from you, And you know it's an honest need. Believe me, you can change things. Maybe not as fast as you'd like to. Maybe it's a lifetime situation. You, as an individual, are so important in the scheme of things, and nothing is meaningless, absolutely nothing. Did you find the value and the meaning in all these things you've been through? You know, sooner or later, your enemies become your friends again, and it all turns around. If you could make the shift. But sometimes somebody does something and we carry it for the rest of our life and never forgive them, and they did this to me once. That's one thing they could do out of 1,000 wonderful things they can do for you. But you concentrate on the one thing you think they did against you, and the more intense you feel, the more hurt you feel, the more upset you, is a clue that that's what you are to learn. You have cast a shadow in front of the light, and you and only you are the shadow. And you can look at those shadows forever. He learned to say to me, he says, you know, when a baby's in a crib and it screams, it gets attention. And if mama's going to leave to go out to go somewhere and she puts on her coat, the baby screams because mama's leaving. So mama decides to stay and the baby gets its way, and they learn that if they scream, they'll get their way, so they scream all the way through life. And he says, then they see their mother with long hair and her earrings scream at their great big father and win by screaming. So he said, that's why children are running around today with long hair and wearing earrings, because they learn that they can scream and get their way. I said, wait a minute. Now, I'm sure for some people that's true. That's the truth for some people. But I said to the man, there's 360 degrees in a circle. Why do you see everything in one degree? Why do you see everything on such linear level? I said, do you believe that? And I asked him, I said, how did American Indian wear his hair? How did man on every tribe and natural instinct wear his hair? From the Japanese to the American Indian, man wore his hair long. Why does he wear his hair long today? Because he'd be an outcast and not conforming to what society says he must look like to conform. And I look at what wants to form me, and I don't want to be formed by it. And if long hair keeps me from being formed into that, I'll wear long hair. In fact, if I could, I'd have very long hair right now, but I'd have to buy it. And I'd have an earring. And you know why I don't have an earring? Because I'm afraid everybody will say, well, you're supposed to be a minister. What are you doing with an earring? That's my stupidity. Because I live by your interpretation of my actions and not from my heart. Now, I cannot believe. I think if we're left in our natural instincts, the reason we don't have long hair is because we're trying to conform, look normal, look straight, belong. If you wear long hair, yes, you do get stopped at customs, don't you, son? You go through customs. Every time they take one look at you, I get two. And long hair and beard. So you get searched. Worth the price. Because it's not for free. Wouldn't it be marvelous if every person on this earth could express their creativity in the way they want to look and the way they want to feel? Do you know how colorful and wonderful it'd be? While I was waiting to do my lecture, I was parked out of the curb with Don listening to some meditation music in his Toyota. And a young person went by whose head was shaved in a crew cut all on one side, and then had this long flop hair coming down the other side. And my first thought, God, is that weird? And I said, wait a minute. It's weird because it's not what you expected to see. And I tried to feel how, I don't know, sure what he or she felt. I think that's good, too, when you can't tell they're he and a she. Then you treat them like a person. Not if it's a she I want or if it's a he I don't. You treat people as people. They have no object in mind. The subject is still open in touchings of the heart. It was hard to convince this man as the man thinketh it shall be. And I could see his whole teaching. He also later told Chris he has visitations from Jesus Christ, and that explained everything to me. You know, Jesus talks to him. And that explained everything to me. I don't think Jesus has gone around talking to anybody anywhere. I think the spirit that Jesus said will come is speaking to everyone, but they'd like to take that spirit and make themselves important by calling him Jesus. Talks to me. Well, Jesus said, as a man thinketh, so it is with him. And that's exactly what's going on in your life. Just as I thought, I told you she was like that. What you expect to find, you will find. Dr. Sewell was talking about these two great birds that fly over our desert. One is the vulture, and the other is the hummingbird. And the vulture looks for dead carcasses. And the hummingbird in the desert will find a flower blooming out of the rock and suck the honey from the rock. Each of them finds what they expect to find. What you expect to find in the person you love, you will find it. But the sad part is, you don't realize there's so much other parts of them there. And whatever you expect to find and you find it, you amplify that, and that's who they become to you, even though it could have nothing to do with what they really are. There's so many other things to me than what you think I am, and you must give me the time to show that. When you reach the point of completion, I don't know about you, but right now I've got the blues. Because last night, I guess until 3:30 in the morning, they were working on the restaurant, Daddy Jack, which concerned me being up that late. And now everything that I wanted to do is done in the restaurant, for that part. Completion could be peaceful, but sometimes it makes you feel anxious. And who knows the difference? Who knows the difference? I don't think many of us do. I remember when my wife gave birth, and all the excitement of pregnancy and all the excitement of giving birth to my family. And afterwards, in a few weeks, came this gloom and depression, the feeling of emptiness. It is common amongst women who give birth, and now they have enough sense to go into therapy and receive help to understand their emptiness. And sometimes when a task is completed or something becomes over, we feel emptiness rather than peace at its completion, unless we have not made a completion within ourselves. You see, things are over, but they're not over in us. And they're not over in us because the part that needs to be solved is the part that still pertains to us. And once it becomes, and we fulfill that part, once we get over it, it opens up again. Broad is the path of destruction and narrow is the gate. You have this big faith feel, emotional thing that fears everything. And you have to give up by taking all the caravan off the camel's back, the camel going through the eye of a needle. And all that was so important must narrow down to what really is important so it can get through the heart and open up unlimited again. And you've got all this that was important, and all they did, and all they said, and whatever it is you're about to do, and the task is done, well, where do I go from here? And it's the stillness before the storm, this calmness, as it goes through the heart of inner space, and is about once again to explode with all new opportunities. All new opportunities. You have to be smart enough to see the opportunities, and you have to expect them to be there. It's not what you expected, but it's still right. We have a saying, church. Things do not happen. Things don't just happen. They happen just. What's at the stake is our ego. And it's always going to be a war between our ego and our spirit. Our ego wants to get and our spirit wants to give. And there'll always be a conflict. Last night during this lecture, they were disappointed at the attendance, and the woman was so fearful and so afraid and so disappointed to face me. And I walked in, and I had Don, because I knew it was Chris. I knew it was too heavy for her to face me straight on, because I was embarrassed. So I used Chris as an ambassador, as my gear, and I said, why don't you go in and tell her everything's all right, and that I'll be in about 5 minutes, and we'll just have a wonderful evening and visit. After I was there, she was so frightened, she couldn't believe that I was so easy about it. And as we sat down and talked, and she told me how their center was failing, and how critical it was getting, and these are good people, really nice people. And I sat down and talked, and I said, well, you know, UMS needs some satellites out of town for our TV audience to get together where I can come meet them. We could send speakers. Maybe you might consider becoming UMS Corona-like center, and we can become a part of the span. I said, you know, this night had more meaning to me than any huge crowd that could have gathered. This is what I was there for, to talk to her, to save the center, to give her hope, to give her a chance for UMS to grow, a place where people who watch our show could meet and contact each other. And I didn't go there to do a lecture. I went there to talk to her, and I spent an hour and a half talking to her how we could get together to save it and make it work. And the thing is, it benefited both of us. It wasn't unjust. God didn't leave you somewhere on false hopes. There was no false trail at the end of the book for that lecture. If you faced the opportunity, which you didn't expect, it to happen. But always in that are 100 opportunities if you will inspect them. Inspect it and inspect it and inspect it and do it. It is always, there is something there. Always. You understand what I'm saying? And I come home last night having the most wonderful night of my life. It was not what I expected. I get a good crowd down there. I get 50% of the door. It was my chance to make some money. My budget is tight to live on. Really tight. And I had to change all, well, I could make money. People were going to love me. I was going to make them happy. You hear all that? That's all ego, right? Nothing else. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as it's balanced with something else. What's wrong with it if it isn't balanced? And I had to sit in the car 5 minutes and hold myself in light and change it, because in light, nothing is wrong. Absolutely nothing. And also, while I was there, I stopped and got a donut and saw the yogurt machine that I won from my restaurant. And I passed by the place that I needed the phone number to get a new building. I want one of you to donate the library on the ranch. It costs about $3,000, and I know one of you have it, and we'll name the library after you, and I want all my books that I've collected 19 years of television, autographed, all the tapes, all the lectures, and all the videos stored in it with access to anyone who wants to go in and research anything in there. And I got the phone number of the building. I found out that I can have a yogurt machine in my restaurant for dessert, and it's a real simple thing. I got that. I got the phone number, found the gazebo I was looking for on the corner of a building and lumber supply, began to form a UMS satellite. Oh, that's a lot more than I expected. Anybody hear me at all? But you have to be open. You have to allow it to flow. And you cannot feel that you're ever going down a false trail, and you'll never feel that if you know you're on the right path. And false trails exist for those who know they're not on the right path. What is the right path? All things work together for the good of those who love him. Things don't just happen, they happen just. There are multi opportunities in every experience, not just the one you expected or wished for. And it is a constant evolution, and it's a growing, and it's your tenacity, your maturity, and your stableness to hold in there what you love and fight for it and work for it and serve it, no matter how much your friends say you're a damn fool for putting up for it. If your friends were a lot happier and smarter than you, I'd listen to them. But usually your friends have the same rent problems, the same job problems, the same drinking problems, the same car problems you do. Birds of a feather flock together. Inspect it. And be prepared to open yourself to the spirit that is within us. All things are in light. Don't make shadows. You understand? Tell me. Don't be afraid. Well, they do something I don't like, so I can't like them. You know, it's funny when you love someone and you know in your heart, oh God, you just love them. And then 3 months later, you find out they do this or they do that. And you say, I couldn't possibly love anyone who does that. Why did you make that decision? Why? What do you mean you can't love anybody who does that? What happened to the ringing of the soul and the spirit of how you love them? Because they did one thing, then you see the one thing you can do for them. And if your ego is working, it wants it done now, overnight, in a word. But if it's your spirit, it will take a lifetime, 3 lifetimes, 4 lifetimes, to save the one person you care about. And I guarantee you, every one of you is savior to someone. Every one of you have the opportunity to save someone. The Liturgy Day talks about calculation, if you read it in your bulletin. I'm asking you to calculate what the life of spirit is like. What you calculate in life is what it'll allocate to you. Is what it'll allocate to you. Sit down and calculate where you're going. What program you're working. What you believe in. And what it's going to get back. If you sit down and calculate what I'm talking about the Spirit of God, it is incredible. It says in the Bible today, in the reading that you're going to hear, because if you come to this church, you'll hear the whole Bible throughout the year, the liturgy. It says, unless you, the real word is hate your mother and father. Now, how do you love God and hate your mother and father? That's a false prayer. The true interpretation is, unless you hold them second in affection. Second. So you're asked in the liturgy today to make God and the Spirit and the truth foremost in your life, that you'll know you're on the right path and you'll never be going down a false trail. You must put all things second in affection. All things save the Spirit. The Spirit of my restaurant must be first. If I have an infection, infection, boy, that's right. Affection for an employee who's doing me wrong or doing wrong, and I put them above what I want my business to be, I put my business second in affection. And a lot of you will, because the ego, you don't have the strength. A lot of times we call cowardice peace. Most people who are practicing spiritual peace are really cowards to say what they know to be the truth, to proclaim what they want. They're peaceful. They wouldn't dare. There's a lot of ways to say the truth without being upset or intense. You can say the truth anytime you want, as long as you don't use it to scold someone. But if you use it to enlighten someone. When I think of what I could say to someone in anger, and I stop back and look, and I say, you know, if you do it at the right time, you could say that same thing in peace, which would show you care for the person you're talking to. Not trying to tell them, well, it's over once and for all. Then it goes on to say, unless the man picks up his cross and follows me, he's not worthy of me. You're asked to be a real disciple. A real disciple. And you're asked that when you get involved with truth, to hold everything else second in affection, let nothing become above it, not even your own children, not your mother or your father. They're second in your affection. That's important. The second step is, pick up your cross and follow me. Everything leads to a resurrection, a glorious resurrection, an enlightenment, a rebirth, an opening, everything. And when it comes to the church, ritual allows us to attach ourselves to the sacred. When we stand there and we raise our hands and each one of you are asking to greet the Spirit that is coming into this church, that ritual, it is a ritual. We do it every Sunday morning. It is a ritual that allows us to attach ourselves to what is sacred, does it not? Don't let metaphysical teachers go around and kill ritual. Do they give you something new? Anything that destroys the old is no good. Everything will be built upon the old. The old shall be made new. I have not come to destroy but to fulfill, he said the law. And if you come to destroy rather than fulfill what is being said, ritual is good. And ritual is a part of a church service because it allows us to attach ourselves to the sacred. And when you raise your hand with me, I am attaching myself to the sacred, and I'm using that ritual to do so. And everybody is in one mind with me. And our hands psychically are united together, and the hand of spirit is holding that, and our whole body is being lifted in light. It's like a flying saucer with its ray of light lifting us all up. Gravity is broken. The shackles are broken. The bonds that hold us down are broken, because in each other's holy company, in whose name we keep us, shall lift us beyond our own understanding. Sacraments permit us to see and feel the Holy. Sacraments. Communion in this church is important because it allows us to see and feel the Holy in our senses. Your spiritual program is important. And your spiritual program, I'd advise you to make a part of your daily life. Church should be a way of life for you. As long as you belong to a church that's involving you and teaching you. And it should not be easy. I did not, he said, come to bring peace. I brought a sword. And you think I've come to give you peace? No, I also come with a sword. And that spiritual program allows you to cut away from you all that nonsense. First, that has to be cut away, and then the inner peace begins. Keep holy your Sabbath. Keep your spiritual program fed, because it keeps giving meaning, encouragement, support, all those fruits of the Holy Spirit. It allows you to function in love and kindness, meekness, gentleness. They're gifts, fruits of the Spirit. Turn around and tell me, well, what are the fruits of the ego? And know the fruits of the Spirit. And this attitude will bear fruit. So hold with me this hour and ask this hour in spirit, for that's what we are here, in spirit with each other. Ask now. It may dawn tonight, tomorrow, but ask with me in unison in one prayer from our heart. Dear Father, show us the meaning in everything. Please, it be meaningless and we be lost. If we find the meaning, we shall be saved. We shall find action and direction. Dear Father, we pray in this hour, in your name, in your spirit, in what we gather, that spirit will begin to move upon our consciousness. We will receive your gift of knowledge and wisdom and feel the meaning and joy of all life. Remove from us the fear that things have come to an end, and give us the new hope and opportunity that all things have a new beginning. Praise be the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, I left up there. So are you up there? Let's just get the words. Are you up there? No.
Thank you. That was wonderful.
How are you doing?
Good. Very good. When Jesus was a little boy, he was driven by his dream. God spoke to him, told him that he'd chosen him. Didn't understand. Jesus still believed and trusted him, trusted and was willing to dream on. When the world just doesn't believe, God has promised never to leave us here alone. Dream on. Wherever it leads, in the seed of dreams, there's promise of the dawn. Just stand and listen for the music. Keep on following your star. Morning can't be for dream on. There is no mountain high enough that God can't climb with you. Roughest road with you. No mountain ever rose so high that you can't be with him. And stand upon, stand and look down on it all. Dream on. When the world just doesn't believe, God has promised never to leave us here alone. Just dream on, follow hope wherever it leads. In the seed of dreams, there's promise of the dawn. Now dare listen for your music. Keep on following that star. Morning can't be far. Now dare listen for the music. Keep on following that star. Morning can't. Before dream.
quit talking. I was still way up there, and I was waiting for him to come on and keep going, but now we're back on this earth plane once again. But isn't it wonderful that we have a place that we can come and get spiritually high? It reminds me of a little story. A little girl who was out playing in the field, and there were some adults watching, and about every half hour, 45 minutes or so, this young girl would run into this abandoned church, and she would go and she would sit in the front pew, and she would sit there for 5 or 10 minutes very silently. And then she would run back out and she would play some more. This went on for quite some time. Finally, the adult couldn't understand it and had to go ask. And it says, "Child, why is it that you can stay out here and play with your friends?" And she says, "I love my friends, and while we're playing, things develop and questions come up in my mind, and I pray to God." And then the adult says, "Then why do you run into the abandoned church?" And she says, "To see if he's ready to answer you." Isn't this what we're doing? Aren't we out involved in this world and in living, trying to do the best that we can with what we have? And we need a place to come to sit still and to listen. That's what this house is. That's what this family's for. And it's our responsibility as human beings. Make this open around the world. In meditation, while the choir was singing this morning, I saw the earth in a beautiful green and blue, and I saw the beautiful pink above the ozone layer. The pink represented the God's love, the God's spirit. Then I saw the ozone layer with large dark holes. But as the choir was singing, I saw the patches being lifted to these holes. Unfortunately, they're not big enough to plug them. But we know that this energy is going forth and it is going out to help. This is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful family. So do your part now to financially keep it going. We don't want to say that we don't have a home no more. We want to say we have the most wonderful estate there is, the estate of pure truth and love consciousness. Hold your love offering in your hands and say this prayer after me. I'll give you time to get it out. I bless this love offering.
I bless this love offering.
And may it multiply by the grace of God.
May it multiply by the grace of God.
May it fulfill all our needs and others. God bless the giver.
God bless the giver.
God bless the receiver.
God bless the receiver.
Thank you, God, for this supply.
Thank you, God, for this supply.
Amen.
God rides on the water. He rides on the flood. And there ain't no power from hell that's gonna stop God's wings of love. I feel the winds of mercy rain from above. God rides on wings of love. God rides on the water. He rides on the flood. And there ain't no power from hell that's gonna stop God's wings of love. I feel the winds of mercy rain from above. God rides on wings of love. If you cry every night over things that aren't right all around, just give him a shout and those walls of doubt, they'll fall down. Oh, 'cause God's not limited by man's degree. He's not afraid of those armies you see. Just turn around, stand your ground. You're gonna be free. God rides on. rides on the flood, and there ain't no power from hell that's gonna stop God's wings of love. I feel the winds of mercy rain from above. God rides on wings of love. If your back's against the wall and you try to stand tall and straight, you can't go under and you can't go around, and so you wait. Even when you don't understand, you're still in the palm of his hand. You just wait, 'cause he's never late, he's just working his plan. God rides on the water, he rides on the flood, and there ain't no power from hell that's gonna stop God's wings of love. I feel the winds of mercy rain from above. God rides on wings of love. Oh, God rides on the water. Yes, he rides on the flood. And there ain't no power from hell that's gonna stop God's wings of love. Oh, I feel the winds of mercy. They rain from above. God rides on wings of love. Oh, God rides on the water. Yes, he rides on the flood. And there ain't no power from hell that's gonna stop God's wings of love. Oh, I feel the winds of mercy. Yes, they rain from above. God rides on wings of love. God rides on wings of love. Wings of love.
There's one that's got the spirit. The gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays a foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, and saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you that does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. These are the words of the Holy Gospel. Amen.
There's a word that universally means about the same thing the world over, and it's alleluia. So there's a little course I want to lead you in, and it's just one word, alleluia. So I'd like you to just close your eyes, and this is what you're going to take home with you. You ready?
Alleluia.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
everyone. Hallelujah.
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 Nothing goes to waste. It'll feed the cattle. You'll see all the orchard trees prune. It's okay. He might be my next father if I have to leave. You never know. Gosh, are you happy? You drive up to the ranch, you go in the September retreat, you'll see all the apple orchards, all the trees will be cut back. It is a time as you enter into fall to literally fall back and to be waiting to prune the trees for the blossoms once were and to gather the harvest into the barn and then prepare a great time of thanksgiving and the reception of light to culminate in Christmas. Feel the energy of light that is within you. Feel the change of the season. Do you feel this? Where everything changes. Yes. Some of the apples that fall on the ground will rot. Yes. So this rot. Ooh. But all the meat of the apple feeds a new seed. A new seed. Everything that you feel in your life is decaying has literally turned into energy that fills a new seed. And as that springs forth, count how many apples are in the seed. How many apples have you seen? So be the season, be ready to come in the thrall, and pay attention to that which is really important and valuable, for that's what the season is for. Amen?
Amen.
And you're getting ready for Christmas, right? From Santa Claus? Did I say the right word? Look at that, did I? You can hear?
Come on.
I had just as much trouble getting them to come too.
Too close?
Feel better?
Yes.
Fear not. Don't be afraid. There's no false trails if you're on the right path. Knew when Columbus set out, he didn't expect to find this. He was headed somewhere else. But look at the treasures he brought back from finding this. So fill up your ships with treasures and know you're on the right path. We have an opportunity to air on Fox 11, which is network in San Diego. And we're asking some of you to make some serious consideration of making a pledge to this. It is not something that will help the church. It is not something that will increase any one of our salaries. But it is something that you will be able to give directly into life on network, the first time that you move into that, the new age, all through the San Diego area. Five people have already made a pledge. It's going to take 40. If you're interested in the information of how you can be directly effective with no middleman, then we can put some of these wonderful shows on the air, and we can do our job to sow these seeds of light without asking people to return into our church or to worship with us. That's not important. But just to know that you are making a difference in some areas will return to you 100-fold. It's just like your father. Just like your father. Setting him well. So we'll inquire about it. I forget what the pledge is. Does anybody remember?
$10
a week, I think it is. So it's $40 a month. But I tell you, you can't do better with that. And some of you that are not making it financially or not being successful, I'd advise you to get into this investment. And it is a direct investment from you. Amen? We must work to spread our light. Let's stand up and give our thanks to the heart in the name of the Son, and a position of balance for your spirit. Receive this ministerial blessing. It is the channel for God's blessing upon you. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And remember, God loves you.
Amen.
Go in peace.
God rides on the water. He rides all the blood, and there ain't no power from him that's gonna stop God's wings above. I feel the winds of mercy rain from above. God rides on wings above.